interested in that, you can actually open up a little viewer that allows you to look at every single read and look at all the alignments and stuff like that, or to capture all those reads and save them to a file because you want to try and assemble or do GC content or some other analysis. So one thing that Megan tries to do is to make it easy to get an overview of your data, but also then slice and dice your data in different ways and have an overview, but also be able to drill down to individual base pairs. You can open multiple data sets simultaneously in a viewer. Here, for example, I've got 12 samples, and then I keep pressing the wrong buttons. Now, that was a really bad button to press. Too many. Okay. Yeah, so you can see, there's different ways to display multiple data sets simultaneously. You can, and then you can, all the charting that you'd ever want to do. You select stuff that you want to chart. You can, for example, I've selected all the leaves here, but you could select higher level nodes and say, okay, give me bar charts, give me heat maps, give me word clouds, and so on, okay? And then PCOA is something that you might want to do based on your data. Again, the key thing is here that with this taxonomic viewer, you can collapse or uncollapse. So you can base your analysis on a specific level of interest. For example, at the moment, we're showing the genus level, but if you wanted to do a species level PCOA, then you would just uncollapse that viewer further. And there's stuff. This is a thing that mathematicians really like, but biologists, it's never caught on with biologists in this field, so-called NeighborNet. Okay, so the nice thing, one of the benefits of doing a protein alignment, whether you believe that it's more sensitive or not, is that you get functional information. And so in Megan currently, when you open up a file, you see your reads classified in four different ways. According to the so-called eggnog classification. This is something that's maintained at EMBL in Heidelberg, and it's an extension of COGS, for those of you who have heard of the COG classification. There's a second viewer called which we call Interpro and Go. It uses Interpro families to bin your reads into different gene families, and then it uses a part of Go to put that into a hierarchy. And then there's KEG. KEG, those of you who use KEG know, is not free. And so if you want to use KEG, you have to actually use the ultimate edition of Megan, which is sublicenses KEG. And there's something called SEED, which is yet another way of classifying genes hierarchically. It's what's used in MGRAST or in RAST. And we also are currently implementing three further functional viewers, MetaPsych. Yeah, we're using the MetaPsych classification, FunGenes, which is something that's maintained by the people who also maintain RDP, and the Comprehensive Antimicrobial Resistance Database is also something that Megan will soon support. And so what does it mean? What do I mean by support? It means that you can open a window, just like you saw the taxonomic window, you can also open a functional window, and then you can browse down into that classification. For example, we're looking at the Interpro to Go viewer here. So you can see at the top level, for those of you familiar with Go, here are the three main types of the three main Go terms: biological process, cellular component, molecular function. And then underneath each of those nodes, you have a set of nodes that specify that further. It's not the whole of Go. For those of you who've used Go, the gene ontology, you know there's something called a Go Slim, which is a subset of Go, and there's something developed by people at EBI called the metagenomic Go Slim. So it's a subset of Go that is used for metagenomic purposes. So you see different things here. So what you can do here is you want to know whether your data set contains reads that have something to do, say, with protein metabolic process. Then you open up this viewer, and then you can go down and explore that part of the classification. So in this particular viewer, the top, as I said, the organizing principle here is the gene ontology, but the leaves of this tree are interpro families. So that's one way to explore your data. If you know there's an interpro family that represents something of interest to you, then you can do a search in this viewer to see whether that interpro family is present, and if it is, you can grab all the reads assigned to that family.
Behind each of these nodes, hiding are now reads.
Yep. Yeah, so very similar to what I showed you earlier, you can either look at those individually, you can save them, you can produce an alignment view that we will see later. So there's a number of things you can do.
This classification of the reads to these interprofamilies already happened during Diamond?
So Diamond is a tool that compares your reads against protein database, and then there's something called Meganize that we'll discuss later, takes the output of Diamond and it inspects all those alignments and it adds classification information. So this is what the meganizing process does. It does a classification of your reads by taxonomic content and by functional content, and it builds an index so that the program can access that when you're interactively working with it. A bunch of reference, yeah, that's right. Okay, so there's a number of different ways. And if you're using the keg view, the nice thing about keg is has those, you know, those keg pathways, and so reads get assigned, mapped onto enzymes in the pathways, and then you can also click on those things and look at the reads that appear in a certain pathway. Okay, so one of the things you can do, or one of the things I mentioned earlier, is the difference between genome assembly and gene-centric assembly. So, in theory, assembling a microbiome data set sounds good, but in practice, for those of you who've tried that, you know that the results are usually disappointing unless you have a very very nice community, say like the cheese community, where there's only four or five different species. Then assembly can happen, but in a soil sample, say, or even in a wastewater treatment plant sewage sample, you've got thousands of species, and there's no way that you're going to be able to assemble anything there. So one thing that we've been looking at is, rather than trying to assemble whole genomes, in some situations you're really interested in individual genes, and so that's where you use gene-centric assembly. Okay, so Diamond is in. So the big computation at the beginning is that Diamond alignment of your reads against protein sequences. But once that's done, there's many things that you can quickly produce out of that. And one is to assemble reads against gene families, and in many cases that gives you a strain level analysis. And so this is something you can do interactively in Megan. So you're interested in a specific gene, you find that gene in one of those functional classifications, and then you tell Megan that you want to analyze it. Here I'm looking at an example, RPOB. In this particular data set, there's actually quite a lot of reads, 95,000 reads assigned to that particular gene. So this is a data set with 80 million reads. You don't always have that many reads in a data set, but if you only had a tenth of that, you'd still have 9,000 reads assigned to that particular gene. In the case in Megan, there's something called the alignment viewer, where you can select one of those nodes in the classification, then choose a reference sequence, and then say, show me how these reads align against the reference. And you can see in this case, they stack up very high. And if you zoom in, then you can see an obvious pattern here. You can see that this reference sequence that's represented along this axis here has recruited reads, these gray lines, from many different genomes. And so these colors that are shown here, these are missed bases that do not match the consensus base. And you can see there's very systematic how things here. You're right. At the end of each of these is a codon, so usually it's the third position that varies. Yep.
It's very stars, right? These white diagonal bands. Where do they come from?
Well, this is just an artifact of the layout of the reeds. You know, they have to be placed somewhere, and so the way that the algorithm works is it stacks them up. These are artifactual bands. This is, you know, if I chose another layout where I don't try and stack things in, yeah, this is an artifact of the visualization. This is nothing real. If I use the random layout where each reed is randomly placed at a random height, then you wouldn't see any. We can look at that later in the program, actually. So that's, yeah. You mean these things, don't you? Yeah, no, these are artifacts of the way that this is drawn. Yeah, and then, so you zoom in even further, you can see, okay, these are not randomly distributed. Oh my, that is the worst pointer. You can see this is not right. You know, every now and then there's a random thing. Okay, this might well be a sequencing error. Who knows? But there's a lot of systematic things going on. And so the obvious thing that you'd want to do is to, find overlapping chains of stuff that overlaps perfectly. And so one thing that you can do in this view is just say, okay, do a new layout where things that overlap perfectly are drawn together. And then you already see these things fall out as contigs. Now, this is not a gene-centric assembly. This is just a simple reference-guided assembly. I've taken one reference, I've aligned things against that reference, and then I've just sorted them by who overlaps with whom without error. A gene-centric assembly is now take all the references. So you can see at the top of this page, I'll try and use this again.
This only means the two buttons that are closest to you.
Okay. So these here, you can see that these are, there's a whole list, you can see this is part only scroll down slightly, a whole list of reference sequences that all correspond to this KO3043RPOB gene. So now if a gene-centric assembly uses all of these references, builds an assembly graph, and then produces contigs. So you click on a node like this and say, okay, assemble all the reads that have been assigned to this thing. And then there's some parameters that you can set. And then the program will go off and assemble those things. And once it's done, what it actually does for you, if you want, it produces a new Megan file and allows you to align those contigs on NCBI. So immediately you can just align them, because NCBI allows you to do alignment against the database on the web, but only if the data sets are relatively small. And usually, by the time you've assembled an individual gene, the amount of data that you have is so small that you can just upload it to NCBI, or Megan will upload it to NCBI for you. NCBI will blast it, and then Megan will grab the result and make a Megan file. So within a couple of minutes, you can be looking at the complete analysis of all those contigs. So that's makes that quite easy. Okay, so Meganizer. Okay, so you start off with your reads, you run Diamond to compare them against all the proteins that have ever been sequenced, and then you run this through a program called Meganizer, and one of the things that we try to do is make the pipeline as short as possible. So using this approach, you only have two files. You have your original FASTQ file that you give to Megan, to Diamond. Diamond produces a Diamond file, and the Meganizer just adds information to the Diamond file. So there's only two files, okay? And so that's your mini pipeline. You got your FASTQ file, you run Diamond. When that's done, you run Meganizer, and then you open up the files in on your laptop. Okay, so it's quite short and not very painful. Hey, and the Meganized Diamond files, they contain all the information that's necessary for Diamond, for Megan to be able to bin stuff and show you, allow you to interact with stuff. Yeah, and it takes about, we'll look at some timings in a moment. Okay, here's a project that we did. We had 12 human gut samples, 800 million reads. So not billions, but 800 million. And here's the timing. So it took us, so there's 816 million reads in 12 samples. take 62 hours on a single server to diamond those against the YenR database. So that's a couple of days, and you get 10 billion alignments. Okay, so you have to wait a while, but you do get a lot of stuff. And then, and actually, of the 800 million reads, 600 million get at least one alignment. And then to take the output of diamond and to meganize it so that you can actually, to classify all the reads by function and taxonomy takes another 5 hours on your single server. So in less than 3 days, you can go from a bunch of FASTQ files, huge FASTQ files that you can't do anything with, to a set of files that you can open up interactively and start exploring.
Why are there more alignments than aligned reads?
Why are there more alignments?
Yeah, what is the alignments column representing? That number?
Yeah, so you don't, so this is not mapping. So in mapping, you've got a read and you want to place it in one place. But in this kind of microbiome analysis, you've got many, one read can go to many different places. If it comes from a conserved gene that's conserved in 50 different organisms, you expect 50 alignments.
How do you choose the right, correct protein?
Correct protein. Okay. We'll get back to that. So the correct protein, so I think I've got some slides coming up about that. Okay, maybe I don't actually. Okay, I'm giving a talk on Friday where I'll talk more about the actual algorithms. But, so.
What type of output does a diamond need to produce for a medium to?
It's a diamond produce, it can produce different outputs. There's something called the DAA, Diamond Alignment Archive. So if you ask diamond to produce that, that can be meganized and, yeah. It can also produce other outputs, but then you have to import those files, yeah. Okay. Okay, so long read sequencing. I'm not sure why you'd want to take a sequencer into space. I don't see any applications, but you never know. I guess it was a publicity stunt to take that up into space. Okay, now in long read taxonomic analysis, in the pictures that we'll be seeing, and in Megan's new long read viewer, what you see is you have a long line that represents the read, okay? And it can be either a read as it comes off the nanopore or PacBio sequencer, or it could also be a contig if you've done assembly. So when I say long read, I also always mean contig. And so the way that we visualize stuff is, we draw this long line, and all these little arrows here, these are your protein alignments. Okay, and sometimes some of them are drawn with a fatter boundary, and that's simply because there's a lot of different alignments that have exactly the start, beginning, and end, the same start and finish position, and so, yeah.
How is the read shown here when it actually spans many proteins?
A read? Yeah, this is a read. Here's a read.
Oh, I see.
And here are all the many, yeah, so you've got to... So don't think these are not the reads. These arrows are not the reads. These are the alignments. So think of these as pieces of the. Yeah, these are the reference proteins. Okay, so we've got one long read, and so in a way, this is like is basically you're getting an annotation of your read. You're getting all the proteins, and you can see how the alignments. So these are the alignments against different references. How they pile up, and they pile up, of course, because well, not of course, but. I guess because there's genes here, there's a gene here, there's a gene here, gene here, and so on. And when you do the alignment of this read against reference database, then that's where you get these alignments.
So this Arma, Timo, and Titus is always the closest to the line, is that then the closest tip?
No. These, are you asking how the label, so the label placement you can see has not been perfectly solved yet. It's better, it's easier when you're actually interacting with the thing, with the program. If you click on a label, then the thing light, the actual gene lights up. If you click on the gene, and the label lights up, and so on. So this works better when you're interactively working with it. Okay, so there is a little bit about how things are analyzed in here. So first of all, I'm going to discuss briefly taxonomic analysis. So for most of its life, Megan's been a short read analyzer, and the algorithm that it uses to decide where to put a read in terms of taxonomy is called the naive LCA algorithm. It's not just Megan uses it, but a lot of approaches use this very simple algorithm. And the idea is, here I have my read, and now here again, these lines represent alignments to some references. And in this case, we're pretending that they are ordered by the bit score. By bit score is, you know, the score of the alignment. The higher the bit score, the better the alignment. And so the naive algorithm says, okay, let's take the top scoring alignments, and top scoring usually means within 10% of the best bit score for that read, and see where they lie in the taxonomy. In this case, we're pretending that they lie here in Borinella and two different Helicobacter. Now the naive algorithm says, okay, see where these guys lie and just place the read on the lowest common answer, the lowest node. It's that top button, isn't it? The top button,
yeah, the top button
is not good. Okay, so in this case, this read would get placed here. Okay, so that's called the naive algorithm. That's great for short reads, and by short I mean reads that only overlap with one gene, say. Okay, that would be a definition of short. And so we spent the last couple of months trying to come up with a good algorithm for long reads. The naive algorithm doesn't work well for short reads. Again, if we just took the top 10% scoring alignments, the problem is that some genes along the read are better, are more conserved than others, so they have a higher score. They might also be longer, and the bit score sort of reflects the length. And so you end up basing the placement on just a small part of your read. So that doesn't work well. And so one idea that we had is, okay, let's go gene by gene. Let's go along our long read and see how, do an LCA for each pileup of stuff that looks like it's one gene. So you get three LCAs, and then you can take the LCA of all these LCAs, or maybe the LCA of 80% of them. But in practice, this doesn't work well because it's kind of hard to know where one gene ends and the next gene begins. There's sometimes longer alignments that cut across, but they have a lower score and so on, so that didn't work very well. So the next idea was segment-based. It's whenever an alignment starts or ends, that defines a segment along the long read, produce all the LCAs for each segment, and then do some kind of LCA of the LCAs, taking the length of the segments into account. And what we finally came up with is this idea. So we have a long read, and this is what's implemented in Megan if you were to run it now. And now for each taxon, so green is pretending to be one taxon and blue is another, we actually maintain the intervals as a set on the taxonomy. And then we do a computation where these intervals are passed up the tree. And then we go down the tree, finding the last node that covers 80% of the total covered part of the read. And that's where the read is placed. And that seems to work really well. So you don't want, as we will see, hopefully. So this is whenever an alignment starts or ends, we chop. So on any given interval, you have a constant number of alignments that span that interval.
But we have three clusters here. Why wouldn't there be continuing? Why are the gaps between
them? Okay. So this is, so these would be alignments. So in this case, I'm pretending that there's one gene on the long read that's here, and it aligns to these guys, and then there's non-coding stuff here, then there's another.
So there are genes.
Yeah. Yeah, so each of these clusters will probably correspond to a different gene, but then for that given gene in the long read, there's multiple references that align to it, and so the game that we're trying to the puzzle that we're trying to solve here is, given this data, what's the best guess of the taxon, and And this I think this works really well, as we'll see when we look at the cheese data.
So here we're not selecting only this top percent.
Okay, the top percent. We do on each of these segments individually. So once we've done this segmenting, when we go in here, we say, okay, let's take for this segment the top 10% of the relative of the bit score by divided by length. No, then it's then we want to find a node so that the intervals on that node cover 80% of what's covered in total. Yeah, so this covers, so this on its own covers 2/3, so 66%, and this also covers roughly 66%. So we can't go down to one of these nodes; they don't cover enough. But here, the set of intervals associated with this node is the union of these two sets. So it's all of this, and so basically it covers everything. Nearly everything. There's a tiny bit missing here. Nobody covers that, but, and I guess it's a bit missing there as well. Yeah. So you want to, so for one thing that's nice about this algorithm, this picture doesn't show that, but if there's one taxon that's evolved in every single alignment, then that taxon can end up as the winner in this, can be the one who the read gets assigned to. So, yeah. You know, if there was always a green segment in everywhere, but otherwise all the other colors varied, all the other taxa would be different, then, yeah. Okay. So we first run this on a mock community, a mock community where people sort together DNA of known bacteria and archaea, so they know what to expect after doing the sequencing. This was a paper that came out in 2016. A small data set compared to the cheese data set, only 50,000 reads and quite short reads, PacBio data. And so the blue line is more or less a true profile, as well as I could estimate it from the figure in the paper. And then the red is the number of aligned bases in the Megan binning. And I got a second picture, so I'll get back. So it doesn't look that promising. I mean, you can see that the same species appear, which is nice, but there's quite a jumping, of up and down jumping. We'll see what the reason for that could be in a moment. So this is what the Megan analysis looks like of that mock community. So you can see it's around about, it's slightly more than 26 species. And now that plot that I just showed you, the thing about that plot is it's based on these leaves here, huh? And you can see that the leaves don't actually capture all the bases. There's these huge nodes slightly higher up, one level higher up, where the reads couldn't be assigned more specifically because of the algorithm. So there's something in Megan which is useful called a projection, where the idea is basically, let's just project all the reads down onto the level that we're interested in. And obviously the way that you would do that is that if you've got some, you would look at your one of these nodes and look at its children, and it would pass down its reads proportional to how many reads the children have. Okay, and then you get much smoother. It's still not perfect, but you get quite a nice estimation of the actual true content. Okay.
Were you able to figure out any reason why
I'm not quite sure what's going on here. There's one guy who goes way down. There's only so far you can go. As I said,
that's just one species that's
epic. Yeah. As I said, the blue line's already estimated off a figure in a paper, so there's only so far that you can take this. There was an interesting data set in a paper describing the centrifuge method. Again, a small data set, so they 1900 reads, I don't know, nanopore sequencing, so this didn't go very well. four megabases of sequence, quite a tiny thing. In any case, so they just took a green shake and they extracted DNA from that. And then, so you can look at that in Megan, so you get a bunch of things. So there's some plant symbiont, which is not necessarily something you would want to be drinking. Lettuce sounds okay. This could be tomato or potato. Cabbage and mustard is also quite good. Rice. Wheat, but then there's a lot of nematode DNA, which is not ideal. And Arabidopsis, which is a nice plant for studying, but I didn't think that you'd put it in a green shake. But maybe. Yeah. Okay, so yesterday Team Cheese reported on their work, and so that database is way better. That data set is much better.
Can I ask a question about the protein versus DNA?
Yeah.
If you took this mock data set from earlier and you did
the DNA.
What
I think the mock, that would come out perfect more or less, because I would imagine that most of those genomes are present in the database, in the DNA database. So that's, I mean,
it's the same. If you have like all the information,
yeah,
not missing anything. I mean, just asking that how the trees of proteins and DNA look.
That would be, that would be something easy to try. We could try that. I don't know off the top of my head what that would look like. It would look good. So as I said earlier, if you're studying in an environment where there's a lot of reference genomes present in the database, and a mock community usually is the case that the actual genomes are present in the database, then there's no difficulty with DNA. Okay, so the green shake for megabases, and this thing here, this is 4 gigabases, so lot more successful. The minimum read length is 5, which is, I'm surprised that would come out with a sequencer at all, but that's okay. And then Richard did an assembly, and I'm not sure what did you just do the basic assembly?
Well, that was this Unisector, which does a miniasm assembly, and then
okay,
maps the read path.
Yeah, so this might be slightly different. I just run the mini assem program with nothing.
Yes,
nothing more than that.
Okay.
Okay, so this is unpolished then. Okay, and so this is what it looks like when you open up that the assembly in Megan. So you get a bunch of things that seem to be reasonable. So in Megan you can right click on these things and do a Google search, and then things that came up sounded all related to cheese. So yeah, and you can also see it's probably not much in the way of false positives, much in the way of false positives here. So this is based on the assembly. Okay, so there's 378 contigs, 34 megabases of sequence, and And so what you can do is, so you can click on one of these nodes and say, okay, now show me the reads. Now you can see that these reads have a lot of alignments to them. And they, so this are these contigs. This contig 600K, and you can see so in the view. This is in Megan, yeah. So you can zoom into those things, and then you can look at the individual things. If you click on these things, you get the alignment. You can search for stuff. So here, you can annotate by different things. So I've annotated by everything. So if you could see this better, you would see that there's taxon names, there's interpro identifiers, there's KGAR identifiers, there's seed identifiers. Everything's thrown in to here, and then you can search for stuff in there, and you can save this in the GFF format. So you just like throw it into some other visualization tool. Then I tried to do well. I took the whole data set and compared them all against the NR database. I got a file that's 20-something gig. So I produced a Megan file, but I couldn't download it from Tübingen in time for this presentation. So I took a subset, only the reads that are longer than 20K. So there's 5,000 reads in that data set that are longer than 20K, 130 megabases. And then that's what the Megan analysis is. Now, if you look here, if you look more carefully here, if you can remember what we saw previously, or if you do this comparison of the two data sets, you'll see that there's, so in dark blue is the assembled data, in light blue is the unassembled data, just the reads longer than 20. The question now becomes, are there false negatives in the assembly, or are there false positives in the reads? Because there's a lot of things that light up now in light blue that you don't see in the assembly, so that would be an interesting thing to try and find out. And so in Megan, you can use this kind of visualization. Where's it gone? You can explore that. This kind of, you can look at some of the reads and say, okay, do I really believe that this thing is present or not? So that's something that we can do in a moment. Okay, so the question was back to diamond. So diamond designed for short reads, although Benjamin Bullfink, the guy who actually did the coding, he's working on a version that will be able to do what needs to be done for long reads. So at the moment, the tool that we use for long reads is called LAST, put out by a Japanese group. And so if you compare, so what I've done here is this is some long read along the top here, and then these are just all the alignments that you get for the same read. And what you see here, diamond concentrates on the most conserved genes along the long read, and things that are less conserved don't appear. Whereas LAST does a better job of finding alignments in different regions, even in a lower, less conserved regions of the sequence. So that's one reason. So at the moment, LAST does a better job on long reads. And the other thing that's really important is that LAST does what's called a frame shift alignment. So one way to do BLAST X-type alignment is you have a DNA sequence, you translate it in all six reading frames, and then pretend it's protein, and then align against proteins. But in a nanopore sequence, the problem is that there's lots of insertions or deletions. And so if you were to translate a nanopore sequence in bulk into a protein sequence, you won't be able to align very far, because very soon you'd hit a frame shift mutation, which would break the alignment. So if you look at this carefully, look at this carefully, there's some backslashes and some forward slashes in the query sequence. See that? So it's what you don't normally see in an alignment representation. And these are one base frame shifts, either in the forward or the reverse direction. So LAST does what's called a frame shift aware alignment. And so for example, look at this region here. Frame shift, frame shift, frame shift, frame shift. So no other alignment tool is going to be able to see that, because it's just going to look, you know, it's just not going to translate into anything sensible. So if you want to, so that's one key thing, that you have to use a frame shift aware aligner to get lots of nice alignments. Yeah, and then so Megan can parse the output of LAST and so on, so that's not a problem. Yeah. Okay, so that was basically what I was going to say ahead of time. So what's the plan now, Richard? Do we take a break, or do we start with the actual program?
We can take a short break and just make sure everybody has
okay.
This thing fully installed, even though I put the download thing in
there. Maybe I should.
My hunch would be that not everybody has working installation.
Well, sorry, I just wanted to ask a question about that last slide. I'm just trying to understand whether this business of mapping financial assets, like the codons, is providing some sort of an error correction step for the more easy sequence, right? And of course, not for in particular, like indels, horrible vein of existence, and grab, of course, tends to.
You think? Can you think of it as an error correction type?
A signal in the coding sequence that can be used to correct error. So we know, for example, that some random frame shift is going to bring us to a stop codon.
Yeah.
In a hurry. So perhaps you know, that sort of one little signal that one can. But,
yeah, you could think.
There is a codon frequency, there is an amino acid distribution. There are all sorts of statistical measures that sort of constrain the coding compared to any random list of four letters, right? So is that used in any way in the alignment?
Is it used? Well, you can think of it, this is like, for the purposes of protein alignment, this is like an error correction. It's saying, okay, I can align nicely here, but now there's something coming that just doesn't make sense, so I'm going to stick a frame shift in and fix it, and then carry on with a nice alignment. So it is a kind of, it's...
You could go back and correct the reason.
Yeah, now you could say, okay, if this really is, if I really have this long alignment here, and there's all these frame shifts, I could go back and fix those frame shifts. I'm not sure whether, I don't know of any method that does that, but it seems like a something that you could do.
Yeah, why don't we just take a 10-minute break?
Yeah.
And everybody should use that break to make sure that they have a working version and download the files from Slack.
Yep.
Which are pasted in the bio in the cheese channel, I think, right?
Yeah. In the cheese channel, there's two files. There's this one here, cheese 20,000. That's the reads that are 20,000 or longer. And there's down here, there's cheese, the assembled cheese file. So there's two cheese files. And both of those should open without any problems in Megan.
And those who have it all figured out, maybe you can help your neighbor.
So the next thing I was going to do was start with these things, but obviously I can tell you how to do the other stuff. So I was just working on that earlier. It looks like I have a working installation of LAST on the QBio server. So I managed to build the index, which took a long time, but yeah. So the goal would be to set things up that everybody who wants to do this kind of analysis can easily do it. So they'll just be like a couple of script files. You run this script, and then it does this for you. And when that's completed, run the next one, three scripts, and then you'll be done.
So based on what you just said from your last few slides, for this cheese data set, we really should rerun it with the LAST alignment and not...
Yeah, so this is already with the... You did diamond alignments of it?
Oh, no, I assumed they were diamond.
No, this is LAST analysis, yeah.
Except for the cake.
Yeah, this one is a little tricky, but I can.
It's tricky, yeah. Once you're used to it, I guess.
I get totally used to it.
Yeah, no, I can imagine.
It's possible. And maybe it's also that my computer just doesn't listen to this one.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have JavaScript, but all the if you install, I think the keys that you install JavaScript, and then you install the JR or whatever, because like servers to me, that's all it's not kind of but it works fine. Well, if you install the
output
of the mechanizer?
No, it doesn't output file, it just modifies the DAA file.
Okay, so that's a modified DAA file, the one we downloaded the cheese.
That one, no, that's a different one. That's one last to so there's, yeah, that's the Megan meta format, the DAA.
Okay, that's a Megan. That's a Megan.
Sorry?
For the diamond in the last line, but not a creepy. What did they? For the long reads?
Yeah, no, the diamond doesn't align. It's the only line is that high. It only outputs the high. Yeah. And as soon as there's frame shifts, it just doesn't output anything. So there's two things that need to be modified. But the thing is, yeah, so last looks good, except that what we're finding is that it also has problems, so no perfect. But it's for now it's the best.
Oh, okay. To use. Did last in the finding the constraints?
Oh, that picture, yeah. Yeah, so last generally finds stuff that diamond doesn't find. And it finds the stuff. Yeah. The stuff that diamond does find, last also finds.
Shut up. How long?
Okay, so if you've managed to install Megan, and I should have said this, if Megan asks you how much memory you want to give it, always give it as much as you can, because for Java programs, the more memory they have, the faster they run, because they spend less time doing what's called garbage collection.
But can you adjust that from the options menu?
No, once you've installed it, it's installed. You can. There's a file called megan.vmoptions somewhere, and then that, you can edit that. Okay, so maybe the first thing to open is the cheese/mini-sm-rma file. So if you find that, then it should look something like this. Okay, so that's. And so as I described earlier, one thing you can do here is you can change the level of detail. So if you just want a phylum level, you go into, so in the middle of the toolbar, there's something called rank, and that allows you to collapse to a specific rank. Here it's not that interesting because it's a very low complexity data set. There's not many different species and so on, but yeah, you might. So you can go down to the genus level, or to the species level in this case, is quite interesting. Yeah. Okay, let's try and explore some of this. So for this guy here, let's click on this guy at the top. So what you see here, there's always two numbers associated with a node. One's assigned and one's summed. Assigned is refers to that actual node, the count for that node, and the summed refers to that node or any node below it. For example, here, actinobacteria, if I click on this thing here, you can see assigned is 2 million, summed is 12 million. So that means 2 million, in this case, bases have been assigned to this particular node, 12 million have been assigned to this node or to one of the nodes that are below it. Okay, that's, that's right. No, 2 million bases, yep. So maybe select that node and maybe do a right click on it or control click. And then find this inspect long reads menu item. And then that opens up the long read inspector. So when that's done, you get a picture. Sometimes the initial layout, this looks a bit sparse. That seems to be a bug that I've just, you see, it looks like there's no alignments here. I'm not quite sure what that means. If you kind of change it slightly, you might know. I don't know. Any case, so this gives us an overview of the reads assigned to that particular node in order of length, I guess. And these black lines are actually the alignments. And so if you look down here, there's this, you can change the scale by using this slider. So you can, if you slide that out slightly, you can see the alignments get much longer, and then you can use the scroll bar to scroll across all those alignments. But of course, at the moment, these are just arrows, which are not that interesting. So there's something up here that where you can choose what's shown. If by default, it's just it's called the overview. You just see where the alignments are. Now you can select annotations that you want to see, taxonomy or these different things here. Or if you select details and everything gets assigned, everything gets shown. And so there's, okay, before we click that, there's, okay, kind of hard to look at. Yeah, so you can, if you don't select any of these, any of the tracks, and then choose one of those options here, then everything gets applied to everything. But it might be better just to go to the top and say, let's select the top guy and then choose details. And okay, so now we can look at, now if you use this slider on the right, you can kind of scale how much details you see. Now you can go across there. Now you can start looking at this guy and looking at the alignments manually. If you click on one of these guys, you actually, the alignment gets reported to what's called the message window. So you have to go into here and then into the window menu and then find the message window, and then you can see, okay, you can see what you just clicked on. You can see the alignments and so on, and what it's been assigned to and stuff like that. Yeah. Okay, so that's a... Okay. If you could, yeah. So talking about the algorithm, remember the 80% algorithm, one thing you can do is you can say in the edit menu, select compatible, then only those alignments get selected that are on that 80 or below that 80% node. So that so a lot of stuff gets shown in red, but every now and then you probably find something, yeah, like here, for example. See this stuff, there's one alignment here to something that's not on or below that 80% node. But I'm not sure how useful that is in this. Yeah. Okay, so that's one way to start looking at things. Obviously, well, what you quite often want to do is actually find something specific and not just scroll along. So maybe, so to find things, you click on the Find button in the toolbar, and then you can look for stuff. I have no idea what to look for in this particular read. And yeah. Let's see. Okay, no, sorry, I want this here. What could we possibly want to look for? I don't know. Let's see if there's anything with the number 666 in it. Yeah, there is, but it doesn't actually tell us where it is. That's not very good, is it? I'm not sure why we're not seeing it. That seems to be a bug. If it doesn't scroll to where the thing is, that's not good. No. Okay, there is a 666 somewhere, but we can't find it. Sorry about that. Yeah. Okay, so this is, as I said, this is the long view, the long read explorer dialogue. You can also, yeah. You can copy and paste. If you click on a line like this and say copy, so in the usual way, and then have some text editor say, then you can, well, paste some stuff. Yeah, that's just a summary of that particular read. Okay. What else do we need to do with long reads? Let's have a look at this guy here. This is just... Yeah, so this might be somebody where you might think, okay, is this really present or not? So I chose the top node here, Psychobacter. Look at the details. Yeah, now you can try and make a call whether you think this is present. So if we do the, select compatible, that selects all the alignments that are compatible with the placement. So everything here seems to be Psychobacter of some sort, except for this pile up here on this very small. There's one small alignment here that has all these guys on it, but everything else, yeah. But whether 18 k of that. So the cheese people, do you believe that that particular bacteria, is that a cheese?
It is, we find it on cheese.
Okay. In small amounts. Yeah, so if you right click on this, you can do like a web search to see if you can find anything. Except that my web browser is not working because I've got to turn this thing off. Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah, so you could, in theory, at least find, have a look, see whether that's. Yeah, so that's the assembly. And so what you can see is that the algorithm is actually not doing such a bad job because most of the things are quite, most of the bases have been assigned quite close to the root. There's 40,000 bases assigned to the cellular organisms node, so that could be an interesting one to look at. Let's have a look at, so right click on that and open up the viewer and then see what we make of this. So what's this got? Yeah, this read doesn't look very good, does it? It's got a lot of tiny little, it might be artifactual. Where is this guy here? It's got this, I don't know. Not sure what's this long thing here.
The percent of coverage that you see, the length of the read, which is assigned to body.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so yeah, you can see here, it's 14% means that 14% of the total read is covered by alignments. So actually, that's sometimes that can be a good filter. So when you do the data analysis, you can say, okay, I want at least 30% coverage or something. That gets rid of a lot of crappy reads. So this one here, only 14% of the read is covered by protein coding stuff. We might not trust it that much. Yeah.
So looking at more closely at the second bacteria read.
This one here.
Yeah. There's a transposase at the end of it, and in the middle are a couple of lactase permease genes, which we see often horizontally transferred in the cheese organisms.
Okay. I got
it.
That's why there's nothing else that. Yeah.
But so if I wanted to take this particular readout so I could run through some other analyses, can I just extract this read
for
the
FASTA
file?
Yep. Yeah. So let's you click on the sorry here. Yeah, so I'm not quite sure whether I've. Let me see if we. I'm not sure whether I've linked the two different inspector windows yet. Oh yeah, okay, so you can click on, so when you've got the, oh sorry, that's the wrong window. When you've got the window that you're interested in, if you go into inspect, then that opens up the viewer, and then this one allows you to, here's the data right there, you can just copy and paste it, or you can also save it. I think some way, oh yeah, wait a minute. Sorry, or the other way, you can if you right click on this node, you can do extract reads. And then all the reads assigned to that node are saved to a file. And if you select multiple nodes, then you can use %t as part of the name, and then the name is inserted at that position in the file name. So you could, so for example, if you wanted to save all these reads for each node into a separate file, you just have to select. So we could just select all these nodes, and then I guess we have to go here and say, where is it? Extract reads. And then, okay, now I've got a bunch of reads. Yeah. That's probably messed up my desktop, though. Yeah. Yeah, so that's one way to get the reads out. and do stuff with them. Yeah, so what we should now do is maybe open up the other file, and then we can try and compare them. So the other file was that cheese 20,000. So this is not assembled data. These are the original reads. But for purposes of downloading stuff easily, it's only the ones. I'm not sure why that file. Make sure that you've got the right window in the foreground. Yeah. There you go. So you can see there's more stuff here. And so one thing that you might want to do is compare the two files. So in Megan, if you want to compare stuff, then you have to put them into a common document called a comparison document. The way that's done is in the file menu, there's a menu item called compare. And then this dialog comes up. It shows you all the samples that you currently got open. Excuse me, but you could also add files. If you had some other files that you wanted to include, the example in the comparison that are not open, then you could open them. You could add them here. But in this case, you should have both files open. And then there's two ways to compare. You compare absolute or normalize. We're going to compare absolute counts. And then once you've selected those two files, you press apply, and then a new document opens, and then you've got the two. So I'm not sure whether you're seeing the same color scheme as I am. If you're not, then you click on this color scheme icon that's near the middle of the toolbar, and then maybe choose one that you like. I think C seems to work well. And these other ones, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, now we can collapse it down, say collapse the visualization down to the species level. So we go to the rank button again and press species. Yeah, now we've got a comparison of the two data sets. Yeah. Okay. You might want to produce a bar chart showing the comparison. So this icon here controls gives you the different charting options. Maybe just show bar chart. And then you get this picture here. And show legend by clicking on this button up here. Okay, so here's the two, here's a comparison. And you can see there's quite different counts. So the cheese, the unassembled cheese, quite often has more bases assigned than the assembled, but that, of course, makes sense because that's the whole idea of assembly, that you collapse down redundancy. So here, the simplest explanation why this is so big and this is so small for this particular bacteria is, okay, this is just a redundant sequence in here.
But there's also just more sequence in the unassembled one.
Yeah, so you think there's also stuff that hasn't been assembled. Normalized, okay, we could do. Yeah, so there's two things that we can do. First of all, if we go back to the comparison picture, one thing, that comparison that I did, you can see that when you click on the comparison thing, if you haven't selected anything, Megan's going to select all these leaves, but here we again have that problem that I mentioned earlier, that things that are high level nodes don't get taken into account. So one thing you can do is in the options menu, there's something called project assignments to rank. You choose the rank that you want to project to. Now we get a new picture, and now everything is assigned at the species level because we projected the species. All the other counts that were previously on higher level nodes, they're just being pushed down proportionally to those. Now, if we now did a plot, maybe that looks a bit better. Oh, it still looks. It's still the same situation that the unassembled reads have higher counts than the assembled. But that makes perfect sense, I guess. Yeah. So let's go back to the cheese 20,000. And so this is the taxonomic viewer. And the other viewers have these buttons here. For example, the Interpro to Go. If we click that, we get an overview of the Interpro to Go. classification. So here are the Go nodes. Now let's, does anybody know of any Go term or interpro family that they might be interested in? Interpro, I am. Yeah. Sorry? Iron. Okay. Let's just see if there's anything with iron in it. Oh, there we go. Yeah. So one thing, if see this button on the right, if you, so maybe I should do that again. Just to, I should. Okay. So if you have the initial picture like this, if you just search in what you can see, there's no iron, obviously, because it's collapsed to the highest level. But this, when this uncollapse button is selected, that means that the search will search in the whole tree and uncollapse it as far as it needs to so that you can see the hit. So in this case, look for iron, and we get iron sulfur dependent something. Let's see if there's anything else. There's another iron. Yeah, that seems to be it. They're the three things that have iron in their name. I don't know if any of those are tree. 49. Wait a minute, why didn't we see them all? There are more. Yeah, it's the same ones over and over, I'd imagine. Select all. Yeah, okay. So we could do the same. Maybe let's try cog. Any other iron? I don't know if any of these are worth looking at from the point of view of cheese. Yeah, so in any case, it gives you some way, it gives you a road into your data, and then you could. So these nodes, just like the other nodes, you can then open them in the inspector. But of course, with long reads at the moment, well, not of course, but for long reads at the moment, you get the whole read, so it's kind of hard to then find the actual. Yeah, you could search again, I guess.
When you search like for iron,
yeah.
When I do it for some reason, I just get the search box lights up red and it doesn't give me.
Did you see this button at the end here, uncollapse? Is that clicked for you?
No.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's. Yeah, if it's not selected, then it only searches in the currently opened. Okay.
So, can we, yeah. Other than by inspecting the reeds, now get an idea of which of the organisms sees a thing?
Which of the organisms?
And then you delete taxonomic assignment and the functional one.
Okay. So
this thing, like whatever iron or this.
Yeah, you can in the following way. Okay, so, or maybe I should. Okay, let me open one of those iron things again. Okay. Say you want to know about this guy here.
Yeah.
So there's one way to do that is pedestrian way, but you can just say extract a new document. Okay. And then we can uncollapse this guy down to the species level. It's these two guys. Yeah. It would be, yeah. So in the past, no, you're right. That should be easier to do. Huh? Yeah. That's the only way you can do it at the moment. You can indirectly. Yeah, so one of the questions, so if this was my data, what I would probably be interested in doing is now looking at the, as I mentioned earlier, looking at the reads and then looking at some of these guys to see whether I believe that they're really present. Maybe interactively for now, do I, given this, Penicillium. Okay, I guess select compatible, that shows us, yeah, everybody's, yeah, so this read only has alignments to Penicillium species and to nothing else. Looks quite reasonable, so it's... Yeah. It's got Camembert in one of the names, so that's promising. So that one's not unexpected. So what would be a taxon? We say that can't be. That's not a cheese associated.
I mean, the rhizobium, I don't think that you would use rhizobia.
Rhizobia, where's that? This one here. I guess we should do all the details. Yeah. It's hard to know. It's only one. Yep.
Can you say again how you get this view in the long, like, so
this,
by default, the long read inspector has like a different.
Yeah, okay. So the long, yeah. Sorry, by default it's the overview view, and then you have to go into details.
Oh, and that checks all the...
Yeah, so yeah. Yeah, the other ones, I'm not sure, they don't do what you'd hope they do, unfortunately. Oh yeah, maybe they do at the end. Yeah. Yeah, so by the way, if anybody's going to use this and has any feedback, that would be really helpful, because especially the long read stuff, this is stuff that we are just currently implementing. So it's all very new and it's not clear to us that what we've implemented is what people actually need. So if any feedback would be great. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What else would people be interested in?
So we have a few pages down there, the lactocorpus page, right?
Yeah.
I don't see the long use species page.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed. So the primary classification gave us long use species associated viruses.
Okay, so this is what the phages look like.
So this was the second one, right?
Is that the way phages are, that all the alignments are in one direction?
That's typical, yeah.
And then this is some kind of... Why do they branch out into two?
Yeah, that's a little weird.
So that seems to be true of everybody, huh?
Yeah.
They all have that break point in the middle, that reversal point.
Yeah, it could be that this thing was integrated into the genome and there was some flip event. All these reads are just above 20,000 kb, right? That's
yeah.
kb, which is your lower cutoff.
Yep.
So it could be that this page is...
Is that size? Oh, okay, so...
So many of these pages are only 10,000 bases. So those will all be...
Okay, so they're lost.
Knocked out.
Yeah, that's a pity. Yeah, so.
So
this is some kind of artifact, maybe? In, yeah.
So you'd expect many, many genes in the same...
Same direction.
In the same direction, same strand.
Okay.
I'm curious why you have this sort of clear bifurcation.
Yeah.
But they just do all kinds of things. So maybe they have an internal sort of bidirectional promoter.
But that wasn't in the assembly, was it? Those phages?
Yeah, the assembly didn't report those. So
okay.
Yeah. But we aren't a lot of reads, right?
No.
Maybe it was just. I'm sure the assemblers had some sort of a cutoff what they consider
worth reporting. Yeah.
But it would be interesting to look for more viruses in the small and the short term, maybe some between 5 kb and
Okay. Yeah, so I was running a 10KB thing earlier. It probably hasn't finished. Well, I'd have to do more stuff. So one thing I could do, I could definitely set up some scripts for people who want to last and meg in their own stuff. Yeah, and then put a description on Slack so people know exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I could do that. Yeah, that might be better than blocking up the cheese channel.
Yeah, we have a bioinformatics channel.
Okay.
There's no reason why you shouldn't do yet another channel.
Yeah.
Channel C.
Okay.
I don't know what's left. Because they've been waiting until the weekend.
About 10K warning or what?
Yeah.
10K warning.
Well, they badly want us to pay for it, but I think they probably get the rules.
Yeah. Annoying if you can see the first messages, but somebody can still search.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so yeah, there was this. But these different numbers of these pages are probably doing similar things, right? Like the progress page, MD.
Oh, look at the.
Some of them, you mean they still have the same page?
Same page, but different directions.
Yeah, since this is so consistent and we see multiple reads, maybe this page doesn't have this structure. Pages to all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's hard to know.
Well, there are the capsid and proteins.
Different cheeses or what?
Yeah. So that would be a.
Do a Lumina analysis.
The Lumina thing through Diamond.
Yeah. So are they on the server somewhere, those reads, or are the reads on the server on the cluster somewhere? Yeah. So if you could. If you tell me where they are, I could do make an analysis of them just to see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So is it time for coffee? Okay. Okay.
So I guess the different. Who still needs to submit their. So is it to the bioinformatics group I put this Doodle poll into the bioinformatics channel for people to express their preferences and what subjects they want to work on and facilitate the organization. So please do, and then I'd like to proceed to the groups who are open for this.
Probably most people who are already in that next
group. Yeah, I reckon that. But basically, I'd like the people that.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Daniel.
You're very welcome.